This is Phil Farrand.
And I am driving home. Summer is cooking today, so the air conditioning is on. We'll see if we can make it home with the power steering fluid still working. Occasionally when the car sits and idles for a while, the power steering fluid, or the power steering starts going out, so it makes it a little hard to turn, but then all I have to do is kind of shut the car off for a minute or two, and then it's good again, so I don't know quite what's going on there. Obviously, that will need some attention at some point. Not, I think, today. It's an exciting day. It is 92 today in Springfield, which, you know, 92. Now we're starting to talk. 95, 98, 100. Now we're getting into some real temperatures. Having grown up in the Philippines, it reminds me of home. So it'll be interesting. I haven't actually checked the weather tomorrow. Kind of need to find out what's going on for the weather tomorrow. In fact, I really hope it's not raining tomorrow, because that would be a bummer. Oh man, that would be a bummer if it's raining tomorrow morning. I have a paper costume for the second half of the day when I'm actually grocery shopping. I'm looking it up right now because I haven't actually looked at it. Okay, no, we're good. We're good on Friday. We're good. Hey, we're good on Saturday. Thank you, Jesus. So this is National Potato Weekend, National Potato Day. Obviously, I've been working on Mr. Potato Head for multiple weeks, 6 weeks-ish, I think. I've had the printer going for almost, I think, 5 weeks straight. Got all the pieces, but of course this is PLA, so, because that was the cheapest to get. PLA, in terms of what you can use to do 3D printing with, isn't the strongest in the world. I dropped one of my ears yesterday while I was trying to work how to get in and out of the costume, trying to finish the details on that. Broke it, glued it, it's not happy. I'm gonna try to tape it, we're gonna be fine. I pretty much have everything worked out for it, but I got a couple of little problems that I can get around, but getting around those problems requires that I have a helper finishing me getting ready. I prefer not to do that because I have places that I just float in and float out of, like the stylist and UPS and Maranatha, and I won't have a helper there. I can get a helper at the Walmart. That is not a problem. So either I don't do Mr. Potato Head there and I just do the dancing French fries costume, which is fine, I can do that. But Mr. Potato Head is pretty cool, and the problem is that the shell, the front half and the back half of the shell, where they seam together, is where the holes for the ears are, for the pegs that you stick in. So because of that, there's just two semicircles there where those two pieces are going to come together, and I tried attaching with some magnets and that didn't real very well, but you've got to have some way to stabilize those ears on either side as you're putting the shell together. So my latest attempt is I got a piece of PVC that I can wedge the pegs of the ears on, and maybe I can strap it to the straps on my backpack that I used to load this thing with. So that's what I'm going home to take care of right now. The only other problem that needs to be addressed is I've got another problem with my plastic hands that I printed, that they're a little hard to get on and off. But I can make that work, I think.
The only other problem I really have is I didn't quite calculate correctly with the hat and where Mr. Potato Head would sit. I actually probably should have made Mr. Potato Head slightly larger. As it is now, you know, it goes from the top of my legs up to just under my nose, and it really needed to go to another inch or so. So I'm going to try to build just a quick support so that the hat can sit on that support as opposed to sitting on my head. Because when it sits on my head, it lifts up off of the Mr. Potato Head costume, and then it rocks around. Where if I build a support, I can build it circular and stable, and got to do that tonight too. But that's pretty minor. Either I'm going to be able to get that done, or I'm not going to be able to get that done. We'll see. So, you know, it's pretty fun, and it's pretty cool. Tomorrow's going to be a little more exciting because the daycare is closed tomorrow for quote-unquote professional development, which means that we've got Aiden all day because Dustin is working a regular shift. So, and that would be fine, except my wife has an MRI tomorrow as well. So, Aiden shows at my house at 5:15. I get ready to go in and have breakfast with a friend. I start that at 6. Hopefully I'm ready to go at 6:30. I get to Cracker Barrel a little early. Hopefully I can get the costume mounted on and ready to go at 7, 7:05. I do a walkthrough with Cracker Barrel with my friend kind of spotting for me. I go back out to the car, strip all that back off, then get on the dancing French fry costume, the tap dancing French fry costume. And then I have breakfast with him because I can sit down in that costume. And then I go back home, and then my wife takes off for the MRI. Then she gets back to the house, hopefully sometime around 11-ish. I load everything back into the car. I take off for Walmart. And so I'm going to be late. I got to tell my buddies that are used to me being there at a certain time that I'm going to be late. So I got to do that when I get home. And yeah, so, but then tomorrow should settle down and be kind of a regular day. I don't have a breakfast buddy yet for Saturday, but I've got the next one on the list that I'll go to. So we'll see. You know, it's you plan and do it, but man, there's just no substitute for doing it. You know, you think you've got all the angles figured out, but when you're actually in the costume and moving in the costume and encountering people in the costume, it's like a whole different thing. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think this is going to be fine, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. My main goal with this, as I've mentioned in the past, is Debbie. I probably won't see her until Saturday, so that's the next piece of this. This costume has to survive until Saturday. So, like, I can't drop it and crack it. I can't break pieces. Hopefully people won't abscond with the pieces, because I certainly am not going to be able to chase after them if they do. Yeah, so there's lots of things. Lots and lots of things. So that's costumes. And then as soon as I get this thing done, I mean like Saturday night, I'm going to give myself a little break Friday, but Saturday night I've got to get started on the Star Trek costume because I only have 3 weeks to get that done. And it's just sewing, quote unquote, but it does say that it's for a moderate to advanced seamstress or tailor or whatever. And I do have some muslin that I'm just going to make a couple of dry runs at it to where I can get it in my hands and feel, and theoretically, by then, the jumbo spandex, it's called, that was the fabric that they actually used on those Star Trek costumes. It's a very specific, heavy type of spandex that I have ordered. That's supposed to be in within the next couple of days. But then once I get through the Star Trek costume, honestly, at that point, we're coasting out the rest of the year. Everything's, we're done. Unless something comes up where I need a new costume. But I think we'll be done for the year. So things will start to slow down a little bit. We are starting up school next week with Aiden. And so we tried to see if we could get him in over at Fair Grove, but they were just a flat no. Apparently, the law that was passed that said that you could transfer kids, parents could do that, it only passed the House, it didn't pass the Senate, and so the people up in Fairgrove just shut Justin down. They just dusted down. They just didn't even want to hear it. Which, they're short-staffed up there, so okay, but yeah, they actually had the audacity to say to him, unless you're willing to sign over all your parental rights to someone else, you can't go to Fairgrove, which that's not true. They could work it out on a voluntary basis, but they just didn't want to. So, okay, well, that's fine. Jesus knows about all that. He'll take care of this. So we'll get that all figured out. There may be a little extra time needed for that, but, you know, I'm working half days now, and we'll figure it out. It'll be just fine. So, yeah, exciting times. I'll know a ton more about how all this is going to go like 24 hours from now, but, you know, right now we're facing it down, seeing what happens next. Writing is going fine. I've just started chapter 25. Jesus woke me up to the idea that, look, you're almost at 130,000 words. You only need 150,000 words. You actually have 3 weeks left. And I went, oh, that's right. And so I actually had an extra week in here where I've really been just focusing on getting Mr. Potato Head finished up. And I'm really close. It's going to be fine. I won't have to be up late tonight, I don't think. So, we're in good shape. All is well. On chapter 26, I just started on book 23. And so usually there's about 32 chapters all told. I know where I'm going. I know what needs to happen. I know what the epilogue is. I got it. I just got to get it down on the page. So I think it's going to be all fine. By God's grace, it will be all fine. I'm almost home, and I do have tons and tons of little things I want to get to. Not tons and tons, but enough little things that I really want to get to them. This week, I was trying to... It was interesting because I was kind of reflecting last night, you know, what am I going to do the podcast on? And I was thinking back, and I had heard some interesting podcasts and those types of things. But by far, the most interesting thing this week was a tidbit that I had heard that there was a girl group that had just reached number one on the Billboard charts, and that had not happened since Destiny's Child. And it was like 3 decades ago, the last time it happened. So I thought, oh, well, you know, good for them. So, as I am wont to do, I went out to YouTube, looked up the name of the group. The name of the group appeared to be Huntrix, HUNTR/X. So I thought, oh, okay, that's pretty interesting. And their big song was called Golden. And so I looked up Golden, and this anime thing came up, and I was like, wait, their music video was just anime? And then I kind of, and I mean, it was like full blown, like it was a movie. And I was like, this is interesting. But then I found a couple of live performances of them. And I gotta say, the live performances of them, I mean, it's K-pop. Okay, so that tells you kind of something to begin with. It's K-pop, which means that it's stilted dance moves, you know, very, very practiced, so they're all synchronized. But when it comes to what I would consider artistic and alive and, you know, really, you look at them and go, oh, there you go. Didn't quite get it in the garage correctly. Just a second. Oh, I need to get the mail, too. No, the mail isn't going to be here yet because I'm home early. You know, when you look at somebody like a Michael Jackson and you watch his performances, granted, it's Michael Jackson and, you know, it's like one in a million, one in a billion, honestly, probably one in 8 billion. I mean, there was just nobody like Michael Jackson. It's just incredible. So, you know, and then when you see other people that it's obvious they've just been practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. And if you know anything about the whole K-pop culture, they're just machines. They're these giant machines that go and pick out young people that are attractive, have a certain look, have a decent voice, and then they just run them through the gauntlet and, you know, just practice the living daylights out of them. And so everything is very kind of stilted and, you know, there's just not a lot of big life there. But, I mean, they're practiced performers. There's no question that they have practiced a lot. You know, so I'm watching these young women strutting around on stage and I'm thinking, okay, well, the song's fine, but how did this get to number one? Not realizing the backstory on this. In fact, the backstory is that Huntrix was a fictional group that was part of a movie called K-Pop Demon Hunters. And the movie is an anime kind of a movie, you know, Korean. And it features this group called Huntrix, you know, three women, all kind of done in that anime style, you know, very thin, exaggerated features, the whole bit. And of course, in the animated movie, all of their dance moves and everything are just extremely precise. Frankly, better than the live actors. Well, the big song in the movie was Golden. And in fact, there was a movie video within the movie. So now, we have a Netflix movie that's about a group of girls called Huntrix who supposedly are demon hunters. One of the featured songs from this movie takes off, makes it to number one on the Billboard charts. Somewhere along the lines, apparently the gals that did the singing for that, knowing K-pop, they probably had this all planned ahead of time because that's K-pop. It's just a machine. So they're doing live performances of this song. And it's just such a fascinating thing to me because you've got young women with all their insecurities being just having the living daylights drilled into them. Singing practice, dancing practice, you know, just rigorous so that they can perform. They're okay. Certainly not as good as the movie. So they're competing against themselves as anime characters who, of course, have all this enhanced glamour and facial expressions and all this kind of stuff. And you just wonder, wow, what is this doing to the psyche of these young women? In addition, the movie very much portrays them as being strong, independent women who write their own songs and rehearse their own stuff and eat ramen anytime they want to. And just every time they finish a concert, they just stuff their faces full of food and, you know, they snuggle up and, you know, this, that, and they take time off and, blah, 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 you know, and it's this portrayal of pop stars that, like, have everything and can command the stage and can tell everybody what they want to do. And I'm looking at that going, yeah, this is not real. I can guarantee you there's like a whole team of people behind this group, and they are telling those poor young women exactly what they're going to do when they're going to do it. They are writing the songs for them. They are doing the choreography for them. They're not just letting them chow down on ramen anytime they want to. I mean, this is ridiculous. And it just, the whole movie kind of hides all of the real work that goes into K-pop. Then, in addition to that, not only are they singers, but they're demon hunters, and they've got these supernatural powers. And I'm thinking, wow, talk about an ego-deflating trip, you know, because fans aren't that good at discerning. They're just not good, especially fantasy fans and those kind of things. They're not that good at discerning. And so you got to wonder if their constant experience with fans is disappointment. You know, I mean, how do you live up to that? It's really fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that the number one song on the Billboard charts is by a fake group in a cartoon movie that is being covered, apparently, by the young women who actually sang the vocals. It's really fascinating. It is a strange time we live in. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home. Let me see where the button is here, because I turned off my app. There it is. Okay, home.